The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
To support our podcast, consider joining us at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage. There you'll get
Take two. Leave that in there, by the way. But go ahead. Let's run that one back.
What is happening?
I don't know, but this is adorable.
To support our podcast.
So good.
To support our podcast, consider joining.
Okay, come on.
I'm not leaving this.
Please, it's funny. We need to see and hear your personality. Listen to your joke.
Mikey.
To support our
Okay, I gotta go get our child. All right. To support our podcast.
1, 2, 3, 4. Alright, we're good. 1, 2, 3, let me step into the moon. Am I the one you see when you get into the mood? I tell them pump them keys while I keep up with your shoes. We got a real nice thing in the pattern of the groove. I can feel it flowing through. I see the sun so clear when you roll it down your back. As a matter of fact.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, I'm Mikey.
And I'm Randy. And this is the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast, where we give you an uncensored look into all we're learning, unlearning, and loving about marriage in real time.
Welcome all new and veteran listeners. We're glad that you tuned in for more of Season 5.
Yeah, so this season's theme is... Well,
there's no theme. We're getting back into the groove, and we just want to leave this season open-ended and unboxed.
Much like we did for season one, which was a great and loved, beloved season.
Mm-hmm.
And in this episode, we are going to discuss something we're both extremely excited about.
Yes.
Our home.
Our home.
Yes.
So, in our first segment, we're going to be discussing getting on the same page about our goals, our money mindset, and preparing to move out.
Yes. And then later we have a fight or flight where today I'm confronting Mikey about still being on his way to do something I asked him to do 2.0.
I don't think you have a leg to stand on.
I do. And I actually
Let's
have
fight.
Video and all the things.
Not you collecting.
Oh, yeah. Because
proof.
You've been putting videos of me on Instagram per our fights. And so I was like, okay.
Isn't it great? We're like
petty.
Keeping each other accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you think it's petty?
Yes, I do.
I thought you think it was cute.
I think it's petty cute. Finally, okay. We'll wrap it up with our PDA segment where we will share something we're proud of for each other and or express gratitude.
Yes, so let's get into it.
We hope you enjoy.
Hey, this is Jason from Dayton, Ohio. Just giving you guys a shout out and kind of just telling everybody why I joined Patreon. So I've been a part of Patreon for a couple years, I believe. And of course, like I just got on with the podcast, just like hearing all the good content and everything from Mike and Randy. But with being on Patreon, I've been able to just kind of like know them a little bit more. And we've got our own little village. And we actually get to, you know, have the opportunity to talk at least, you know, at least once a week. And to be honest, I talk to them in the village over there more than a lot of my own family. So it's good to just connect with everybody and just kind of just seeing what's going on in everybody's lives and just learning from each other and shooting the shit sometimes. So yeah, it's been fun. I'm very selective. About where I spend my money and everything, but Patreon is definitely, it's been a nice investment. And so it's been cool. So,
all right, y'all. So things that must be mentioned in this story.
All right. So what's going on, Randy?
Backstory. So when we moved into Mikey's mom house in 2008, when we moved into Mikey's mom's house in 2018,
put them together like that.
We thought we would only be here for 1 year, but we are in year 4. clearly and obviously we hit some roadblocks, some obstacles. And if you want more info, if you want more info about that time in our lives, please go back and listen to It's a Hard Knock Life and the Bat Cave episode.
Yeah, those will get you up to speed.
Yes. So, however, last year, before Noble was conceived and born, we were actually planning to move.
Yeah, we were in process.
We were like, we're just going to start doing boxes. We're going to manifest this.
Things were happening.
We're going to put things in boxes.
Actively.
We signed the agreement with the realtor. We did the Zoom call things. Mm-hmm. We did the lender what if simulator about where we needed to be with the credit score and the savings and all the things.
And then
I had a dream. Okay. Mikey says he doesn't remember me talking about this dream, but I had a dream.
We're not even having mad dreams.
My dreams have been out of this world.
All right. So what happened, MLK?
That's not funny. Well, no. I had a dream that me, you, and Drew were all in the car and we were like in traffic on the highway and we had the car packed up to like the brim and I don't even know where Groot was. Like we were just like, we gotta go. And I never tell you to do this when we're in traffic, but I told you just take the emergency lane. Like let's just ride it. Let's just go. And you were like, okay. You know, and so you pull over to the emergency lane, you start going, but then it gets really foggy. I see that there's an accident, a really bad accident that's happened. Everybody's still stuck in traffic and there's someone in the middle of the highway sobbing, like just crying. And that told me, obviously, it's not time for us to go yet. And that something has to happen before we move. I don't know what it was. I don't think I was pregnant with Noble at the time, but it was just like an omen. Like, girl, y'all not going nowhere no time soon. And
that's what you interpreted from that dream.
I did.
Even listening to you explain this now, that's not what I'm interpreting from that dream.
That is what I interpreted. After weeks and months of writing down my dreams and keeping track
also,
of them,
you know, in hindsight, these things like make sense.
I was like, okay, fuck, you know. So
I would have just been like, yeah, we need to not take that highway when we go somewhere.
So, so that was a dream, and I felt like it was because we weren't ready, and it turns out we actually weren't ready.
No,
lots of things happened. Noble was born. We were just not. Wasn't nobody moving. I actually remember telling you, we're never leaving. I remember telling you, let's just stop with the dreams, you know, let's just be where we are presently.
Oh, sorry.
Do you remember telling you that?
I was like, I'm not okay.
It's fine. We don't ever have to have hope again.
I love you so much.
Let's stay
forever.
Let's stay forever. Drew loves it. No, she don't know. She don't know. Everything floats down here. It's not funny. But do you have anything else to add before I go move on?
It was very clear to me at the time that, like, just financially where we were, it wasn't gonna do it. I busting our ass, but like it just wasn't enough. And I just knew something else had to give, and so I figured more work needed to be done and then we would eventually get there. And I guess that was my hindsight, yes, that's part of it. There were a lot of pieces that needed to be at play, but also there were conversations that we were just not
having
because I look like talking to you about this stuff when we are both
depressed,
distraught, more D words, just we're down, we are not well. So,
yeah,
I think that I'm glad we did finally talk and then other things happened, which we'll get into, but yeah, we weren't ready,
right? So,
we were ready for like a $600, $700 apartment over on like the east side. Like the projects, if that's where you wanted to like move, if you wanted to, Stone Mountain.
No, okay. So, So now, though, after that time in year four, we are currently, you know, we're ready. But before we move on to that, we wanted to discuss some of the barriers we had, and one of them being homeowner mindset. So, Mike, where were you homeowner mindset wise? Where were you before? And where did you think I was?
So with me, it was more so like a lot of my life can be summed up in Jay-Z lines, because this just is. It's not a Jay-Z or a Fabulous line would also work. Like, you can't afford something unless you go buy it twice. It's one of those things that I've committed to just my well-being, the way I operate, which is true. Honestly, if you can't afford to pay it and still have money left over, then you can't afford it. And jointly, we did not make enough. We didn't. We were just doing enough to keep the family afloat. And that's not going to get it when it comes down to home buying. You need more than what you currently have. There are a lot of factors at play. There's the savings for the house, but there's also just the credit score that you need to apply. I mean, to not to apply, but to qualify mm-hmm. for any of these assistance programs and things of that nature. But my mindset was always, well, we're still leaving. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to die here. Like, that's not what's happening. And while, you know, my mother has been just wonderful and supportive, she also was like, I'm not going to die. Like, y'all need to do what y'all need to do. Like, mm-hmm. there's patience there. But no, the plan was always like never shifted over here. It was just, you need to get out of here. Like, all right, something hit you. We adapt, we adjust, we just continue like moving forward. And continuing to move forward, we will end up where we're supposed to, was where I am. And then I also felt like you felt the same way, but I also recognized that it's really hard to move. Mm-hmm. It was hard to do anything. Like, it was a very, very rough time. For obvious reasons. We spent a whole season on it, struggling to even like talk about it, figuring out just how to move forward in life at all. But I honestly thought that you still wanted to. We just hadn't talked.
Mm-hmm. Well, where I was where we were like, okay, we're going to get out of here in a year. And then I realized.
Wait, at the top of the year?
Like when we first got here. Like, where
oh,
were
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, yes.
We're going to get out of here in a year. In 2018, I was like, okay, same. We'll be out of here by the time Drew's one, okay? And that was not the case.
When did your mind change for that?
I mean, it just wasn't the case. Like, you were still doing the program. No,
but at what point did you say, oh, it's not a year, it's going to be another year?
I don't know. I think I just, when the pandemic happened.
Mine the was year right she after turned, the program finished.
Because when she turned one, we had her birthday, mm-hmm. and then a week later, the lockdown happened. And it was like, we're not doing anything.
When we hit that point, I was like, okay, so it's going to be about 2 years if I'm thinking realistically. Mm-hmm. That's if we're still getting money consistently during this pandemic situation. Mm-hmm. Which at that point, it was like, all right, there's still a possibility.
I had gone full-time freelancer before I became mm-hmm. entrepreneur sometime around there. I was like, okay, you know, I was on a few projects. I was like, okay. But then I got pregnant with Noble and couldn't do shit. So I was like, okay. But then at one point, I don't know if you remember, we were like, well, let's just go anywhere. Like, mm-hmm. we can just rent. can just leave here and go rent somewhere else.
And then more catastrophic
and
things happen.
But not even just catastrophic events. It was like, that doesn't make any sense.
That wasn't the plan.
The rent we pay here makes us able to obviously pay rent and honor mom's boundary about paying. And also able to save and do the things we said we wanted, which was to leave here and own a home. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't make sense to leave here paying triple the rent, especially now.
Four.
And not be able to say, like, we would just be back here. And so I was like, okay, well, obviously the apartment thing is not the way we want to go. We just gonna have to suck it up. We made this place more livable and, you know, more homey. So now that when we're out and about, we are ready to come home. It's just like, okay, let's go back home. Mm-hmm. So, but where I thought you were was, okay, let's just go anywhere.
No.
And where I thought you were after that was like, I thought that you were lonely. Like, I felt like I wasn't showing up in the way I wanted to be.
Well, I can speak to that.
Like, I was like, he needs help, and we both have these goals, and it felt like you felt like you were the only one that still wanted to, like, was really serious about it, while I was just like, now at one point I was like, let's just never go anywhere or do anything anymore. We've taken enough risk. Mm-hmm. Let's just stay here. Maybe we're just supposed to stay here. And that happened after Noble. But yeah, I was like, yeah, I felt like at one point you were like, well, you know, I don't know. I just felt like you were, obviously you wanted to leave and you knew deep down in my heart I wanted to leave, but you were just kind of waiting on me.
Well, no, honestly, at certain points, yeah, it felt lonely, but not in the way that you're describing. It's not like, oh, she's not doing her part. It's she can't do anything. And that's what's making it hard. Like, you can't even speak for long periods of time without crying. Like, you're trying to just keep yourself together. There are other things that you need to do. And so at this point, because I have to work, I don't even have the time to like explore those feelings and do those things, which, again, we talked about. But it was more so like the plan had never changed. I told you from day one, Drew not going to be 5 years old. And we living here. Like, that was just, mm-hmm. that was where we stood, because we wanted to make sure that whatever neighborhood we're in is going to be in a school district that we felt like is good for her. And by then it was what it was. So like, that was the last number mm-hmm. in my mind. But, you know, things happen. Things do happen. You adapt and adjust, but the goal line is still the goal line. And we're still on track for that to happen now, more so than we have been in a very long time. And so things are just lining up. But no, I didn't feel like you like quit on me. I also didn't believe you when you said, let's just stay here because...
I believe me. No, no, we're not like, going anywhere.
I can also recognize when you just like full of shit. And I was like, Brandon don't mean that. So that's fine. At one point, I was just trying to like I just want to give you something. I was like, so if you want an apartment, fine. Like, that wasn't really what I wanted to do either, which mm-hmm. we like talked about. But like, I was like, if this is something that can like help her, if this is what like something that can like pick us up, maybe give us like a recharge, then cool. It might fuck us up a little bit later, but like whatever the case is, I don't know. Maybe by then you'll be working differently and you would have like, and then the money, you know, we like figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would have maybe ruined us a little bit more.
No, it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. So
it wouldn't have worked at all.
I think that things worked out the way they're supposed to and weren't supposed to work out any other way because we're here and this is right.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so some of our problems were when it concerned home ownership and money.
Mm-hmm.
Is one, we were waiting. Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of waiting.
For
we
something.
We were waiting till we move. We'll wait till we have more money. We'll wait till we're no longer grieving. We were just waiting to do anything. So part of we've realized in this past year at least that part of our stagnancy was also because we weren't living. Oh, we can't do anything with anyone because we don't have no money or mm-hmm. we're saving. And then we realized 4 years have gone by. We ain't done shit. And we ain't still moved. You know, it's just
nowhere.
Like we haven't
seen nobody.
Right. We just been paying daycare and doing little, you know, like, but we weren't living. We weren't having any fun. At least not consistently.
No,
and
you don't got a quote. We just wasn't.
Like we just weren't. And so this year what we started to do was like more family trips. We went, you know, with our cousins and you know, things that were like fun and realize, oh, we still have money because to attract money, you have to spend money. Mm. You know, it's very ironic. You know, you have to show that like you're not worried that it won't come back. You know, it's just one of the things, but also obviously have money as well. But
this has also just always been a mantra of ours and just an attitude that I've had. Money will always come. It'll
right.
always come.
But
before
we weren't,
a while, we were in a space where it's just like,
no, we'll wait.
Just nothing.
We were kind of like,
we'll keep putting things off.
It seemed like we were punishing ourselves.
I was.
I mean, yeah, we absolutely were punishing ourselves for having to move into here. And so we were like, well, we don't deserve anything.
Not after that part.
I was. I just felt a lot of shame because I lost my job. I was pregnant with Drew. Mm. We were here.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
I was still like, it was
like
still
being
all of
here
that.
Goes, like, again, I love this space and it was given to us in a way that like it was. This was not homey.
It's not. Yeah.
And so we like made it a thing. I think after a lot of conversations with more married people, after learning that the people that we looked up to for a very long time or people that have always been around were like, yeah, it's completely normal. I lived with my mom for 5 years and we lived in the same on the same floor and then my wife and our child. And like I was like, this is
like
odd.
Nobody.
No one
it.
Mentioned that it is normal. And then I'm learning just reports in general around the U.S. A lot of people mm-hmm. are moving back in
home.
With their parents because can't nobody afford anything. Rent, let alone buying your own home. So like I was like, oh, like I'm not this. A part of like a small percentage of people in the world who's just like fucked. Like that's not what's happening here. There are a lot of things happening systematically. Like this is a larger,
mm-hmm.
this is a thing that's bigger than me. And for a while I just was thought like this is an isolated incident and I'm the only person beating myself up. And then you learn more people are like talking about it. And you know, you see things on social media. Some people are just perfectly fine,
mm-hmm.
but that's not how anything works.
Yeah.
There are more people that are not than people that are. And when I realized that we are not special,
mm-hmm.
that felt really good.
Mm-hmm.
That felt really good. Especially one of the people that told us that they had to do it was Mr. Rashid.
Mm-hmm. Our counselor from school. Yeah.
The one that we mentioned a lot of episodes ago, which is one of the first place that me and Randy met.
Yeah.
I was like, you and your wife did what? Yeah, we stayed with my mom for a
couple
years.
Now they're always traveling and there's always pictures. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, what?
I was like, so if that's, so he's like, yeah, it's going to be okay. All right, well, if you, it's always whenever he talked I would be like, oh, if you say so.
Yeah.
And he'd be right.
Yeah.
And so like the
shout out
that
to Mr.
shame
Rashid.
Part, shout out to Mr. Rashid. So that part, that wasn't where the shame kicked in. The shame kicked in with me. It was more so like, you should be doing more for your family, like make more money, more income. That's the only way that you're gonna get past all this debt. Like it's slow. Like, yeah, we're paying off stuff and the savings was like it was non-existent, but like the credit was finally getting fixed and it was just like I'm doing this work, but I'm not really seeing the fruits of my labors
mm-hmm.
type stuff. And then on top of that, we're not going nowhere.
We're
on top
the
of
goal
that,
posts.
Daughter,
it's like
constantly
nothing's
moving.
Ever
good enough.
Right. Right. Well, and also to your earlier point, another thing we realized was a problem. We hadn't been talking about
major
it.
Major problem. So all of these conversations I'm having in my head, I ain't saying none to you.
Right. And I told Mike one day, I was like, Mike, I want a mansion. Like
And you said
I
it and I got mad.
A mansion.
I got mad.
You didn't get mad.
I did. I did. No, internally, I did. Oh. I was like, fuck you mean you want to mad? Since when? Because I do it.
I realized that I had been dumbing down my dreams and things because I thought that's what you supposed to, you know, like I'm a girl and, you know, girls, women who want power and money and luxury and something's wrong with them. It's like, no, I am who I am.
And I don't understand and that thinking.
I mean,
we have
been conditioned. I know women who are listening to this episode know exactly what I'm talking about. We have been conditioned to think of like luxury and things as like, ugh, like you bougie. You can't have both. You can't have luxury and ease and this huge, beautiful house and like a happy marriage. You can't maintain, you can't be a good person and have all of this. And it's just not true. It's just what they tell us to keep us dumb. And so I realized
when we talked about this later, and then when we had that conversation, I told you like my experience is just the opposite.
Right.
You know my sister. You know my mama. You know my other sister, Jill. You know exactly. Like,
right.
There's something about West Indian upbringing. It's like, nah, women love to. I have a very close friend from Dubai. High school. And I remember in high school, her mom was always on vacation. Her mom was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But she was always leaving this damn country. My Auntie Grace, just always going somewhere. Mm-hmm. Luxury and enjoying life and making your space peaceful shit is the norm. In my culture, like,
well, but I realized, at least in on my side, Black American women, we got shit to do. You know, like, most of them, you know, single mothers or these jobs that aren't like, you know, they have like the promotion thing, the promotion track. Not even if it's not money, they're not prioritizing themselves in all the ways, for all the reasons that we don't, right? Shame, exhaustion, there's no time, and for all the reasons, you know, that I can't obviously pinpoint exactly, but just noticing that I was constantly in the space of watching women, you know,
I think that's more about like just American culture in general too, because that's like a thing. You're supposed to work, put your head down, work. By the time you retire, then you can look up and then maybe you can like start having some fun with like the fruits of your labor type thing. Whereas in a lot of cultures I learned, like, work hard, play hard is a thing. Yeah, doctors, surgeons, they do all that work and go to medical school for as long as they go to school for, and like they do things. Like, you're supposed to like go do something with that time, but we would just keep working and working and thinking that we're gonna look up one day, or maybe like winning the lottery will save us, or finally retiring at 40 something or 50 something, and maybe then we'll have like a 401k and we'll figure out how we can like ration that out to live a happy life for a little bit. And it's just like, that's if your job offers something like that. And everybody at this point is trying to get from like under the thumb of like some type of, yeah, like a corporation or some shit. So like, that's not even like a thing. But I did notice, and I disagree. And I'm over here thinking and trying to create more space for you to like go do stuff, because I feel like you should just go be doing stuff, even with what little we do have, and not even doing that for myself. But like, no, I think I rebuke that shit. I say you fight that with every fucking fiber in your body, because nah. And you know, I love Jill. Jill, I love you. Jill lives the life that I want my wife to live.
Yeah, Jill.
I want to just go send you to go do shit. I just want you to be able to just go.
And I
want to
be able to just take care of myself, which leads me to like the next thing, boundaries. We realized one of our problems was we had shitty, crappy boundaries. We weren't really big on like, we hadn't realized we'd fallen into this slope of like not being self-reliant. So we made a boundary. No more taking money from people. No more, you know, like we'll accept like the gifts and things, especially with Noble Pass. We got a lot of gifts, but like.
When Noble Pass, there was a space where it's just like y'all offering food and we need it. Like, because we can't
no one's
function
doing anything.
But prior to even the loss of the first baby, before we had Drew, I have, and you have, always had this like this air of like self-reliance, like things will get done. It doesn't matter. Anyone who I've ever borrowed money from can attest to this. Not only did I pay them back, but I paid them back immediately and with interest, because like that's how I punish myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I am so destitute that I need to borrow $300 or something like that, I have given you back $400 and you got it the next week. Like that's just, and then I never ask you again. It's kind of like how I move. And then I never want to be in that position. So I make sure that I'm never in that position. But with all the loss, all the depression, all the everything, it was just like, I will do what I can to keep the boat afloat, but all right, help me. Okay, cool. I'll take it. All right, thank you. Okay. Yes, fine. You're right.
And that cost was always ended up being
much higher than
high. It's like, you know what? No. So never again. And so we realized once we start like acting like grownups and becoming more self-reliant again, a lot of our problems and our mindset about owning a home started to shift, which leads me to the final point of problem we wrote down is like we weren't taking any action.
Not a single.
We were like, thing. Oh, we want a house, and we weren't doing shit. We weren't doing.
We were driving by houses and saying, oh, that one's nice.
Yeah, but we weren't.
Like, we weren't, to and fro daycare or something.
We weren't taking any type. We weren't taking any type of action.
Not even a vision board was put together
during
these times.
We weren't taking any. Like, now that I'm realizing all the stuff we are doing, it's like, we weren't doing anything.
Okay, so we did have a Google Doc that we were putting houses on at one point. This is when we was having a whole, like, the
debacle. We're moving now. We're going to. Yeah.
We did,
but it was also apartments. We were also willing to rent. We weren't just trying to. We were like, we'll just rent and we'll just do that for a year,
and then
we
looked
try
and was like,
again.
Wait, I mean, 2-bedroom apartments cost 3? What?
No, no dogs. We can't. We're not about to go through all this. And what you mean?
So confused.
So we were like, no. So instead, so now that we realize all of this stuff, we are taking action steps. So babe, what have we been doing?
Mad shit. The first started, and the one consistent thing that's been going on is credit repair. Because no matter what, in order to buy a home, you need good credit. And credit score was in the fucking toilet. In the 400s. It was low fives. And then now we ain't there no more. I'll put it out there when we get the house. No worries. Because my credit score is a flex and I cannot wait. But yeah, like we had been paying back a lot of the debt that we had like occurred over the last however many years. And it's hard to do that when you don't make enough money to keep up with what you have and pay back what you had to take out. And now we are.
Right.
So that's like one of the first steps. We spoke to the, help me, what is her title? Financial lender. And they broke down basically what your steps need to be. What are some of the key things that you need to take care of so that you can qualify for anything? And that was just the first thing. It was outlined for us. And that's what we've been focusing on. And now life is better.
Yeah. We've also made more money.
Yeah.
That
was step two.
We're making way more money in the 4 years since we've been here collectively. And we also have a house fund. So we put together a board and it's really a lot of fun. We get to see how much we've saved.
So we took the step of the vision board.
Oh, yes. That and we did the vision step. Board. Yes. We actually did do a vision board together. And it was funny because we used mom's magazines and she had some of the same magazines. And so when me and Mike both finished our vision boards, we realized we shared a lot of the same things on our boards. It was all, look at us in alignment with each other. And then we had the house fund board and we mark an X whenever we put money in there. That's only allowed to be in there between $50 and $100 at a time. So you ain't got 50 or 100, save it. You know, do something else.
Save it until it is.
And we've also been to 2 homeowner seminars. And like Mike has stated, we have
visited a whole bunch of webinars now.
Yeah. And we've reconnected with our realtor and our lender. It's like, no, it's happening. Even if we have to squat, I told Mike,
Andy,
I'm
squatting.
Prepared to do
you
that
don't
thing.
Squat.
What's that TikTok? Does anybody know there's an update on that TikTok? The lady Airbnb'd her house, but maybe not officially. And then the girl refused to leave.
Yeah.
But she was just walking around the house in the bonnet and was like, I'm not going nowhere.
I remember.
And now Georgia is all for like the renter, even though she technically is. Anyway, so we got to do something like that. I ain't too proud.
I love you.
Because we're leaving, you know? Yes. So we're moving next year. So yeah, those are some of the things that we have been doing in terms of action steps. So where are you now mentally, Mike?
Now mentally, I have a lot more clarity, obviously, than what's been going on in the last 2-3 years. Also, a lot of the hard work that I have been putting in individually is starting to pay off in a different way. For me individually and us jointly. Like I am so full these days because I am seeing like, it's been a lot of like stuff from God who's like, here you go. Here's the thing.
Because you've been working.
You're now ready for the thing that here you go. And so I'm handling it and I am ready is where we are. You know what? Fuck it. We're recording this today. So I got a new job.
I was going to do it for your PDA, but I'll come back.
We can come back to it in detail. That's fine. And so I've been working really fucking hard.
You have?
Very hard. And I've been doing a lot of roundabout shit to get to this company. So like I've been working tirelessly through loss, through new parenthood, through navigating all of those things, loss and new parenthood at the same time, through our relationship woes and trying to make sure that we still stay connected and work and more loss. And just like, actually, I've kind of like lost count of like the things that have been like issues, but I don't know. I felt like I owed it to you and Drew at first to stay the course. And that was all that like gave me the energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until we had other conversations where I was like, you should also factor yourself into this equation.
Mm-hmm.
And it really wasn't until I started giving a fuck about myself that more things started happening. So you and Drew obviously aren't motivation enough.
Mm-hmm.
But like when motivation ain't enough,
you have to start taking care of yourself. And period. But yes. Yes.
And now.
Now look at you. Now look at you.
And now.
I'm really proud of you, but I'm going to hold that until the PDA, where I am mentally.
Oh, wait. No, there's more.
Oh, sorry.
I'm also just really excited is where I am. I'm really excited to be doing. This is new.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening right now. Things are lining up differently. And I'm excited to be doing this with you. It's also fun when you just be talking shit about houses. And I like viewing houses with you and hearing your, like, I know your lying voice because I've been with you for a long time. But like the realtor talking to you and be like, yeah, so this.
What?
You were like, oh, yeah, no, this looks really great. The
townhouse we saw. Yes. I was like, you know what? Pretty much done with shared living.
Also, you've probably seen those memes of people like, it says like me at my 9 to 5 with $695 in my account looking at $1 million homes on Zillow.
Mm-hmm.
And talking shit about them. Be like, not them floors. Not
that's what we be doing. Like, for $1 million, you want what? We get what?
So I'm learning your taste again. It's just fun now.
Yeah.
It's fun because it's real. It's not like.
No, but this is happening.
Like, it's just different, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I am mentally.
When we move and we do an episode, it's just going to be sobbing. So like play it as like background noise. You need a good cry. Mm-hmm. Just press play and you're just going to hear sobbing in the background.
Randy,
and you're going to not hear Groot walk because we'll have carpet somewhere. Okay. Where I am mentally.
What's up?
Is it okay? Okay. Sure. I'm feeling worthy. It's like, you know
you
what?
Are, Thor.
I'm worthy. Right. Are you the god of hammers? No. No, mm-hmm. I am not. I'm the god of thunder and lightning. But yeah, I'm feeling worthy. My business is thriving, you know, in terms of like for a first year business and full business. I'm very proud of myself. It feels good to have standards and boundaries and to recognize it's going to be, you know, hard, but you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to have talked to the lender and the realtor and seeing these houses like, oh, this is possible. And just similar to you. And taking care of myself, I'm able to like see different.
Yeah.
And be honest about what I want. So that's why I'm mental. It's like, no, this is what you want. You are ready to move. Drew don't just deserve better and more. We do.
Yeah.
Because we've been working really hard. We care a lot about our family and our marriage and our relationship. And I am ready to live in a space that reflects that.
Yeah.
And that is like, you know, all ours. And to open this space up for somebody who needs it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure someone else is on moving here because it's wonderful. You know,
yeah,
we were able to do it. Right. We made it so you can stay for at least 4 years, you know, so you can do it. But yeah, so that's where I am mentally. And finally, Mike,
what's up?
Now that we've talked about where we are mentally and our problems and our barriers, what?
I like worthy. That's a good word.
Oh, thank you. What is your advice for people who have strayed from their plan?
My advice for people who have strayed from their plan is to talk. I think that the number one issue of everything that we just mentioned is we didn't speak, which is not like us.
Speak, like, what do you mean?
We didn't bring up throughout all the grief, throughout all the other stuff that we were processing, working on, dealing with. A lot of other things got in our way. And it wasn't until you said, I want a mansion, that we started talking again about our home and our goals and just reconnecting to what was.
And how are we going to show up? And what does this mean?
There was a lot of noise in the way and it's immediately removed when you open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of stuff going on in my head that serves you none.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe those things are helping me push forward, but it's not helping us move forward. It's not doing the things that need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
The questions that you're asking yourself or the way you may be talking down about yourself is maybe something that's like holding you back. But like maybe that expressing those things to your partner is going to open up room for a different conversation that would give you some different perspective.
Right.
I think that if you have strayed away from your plan, if it started off one way and y'all have noticed or you can look back right now and be like, things are a little different than what we said they wanted to be. Let's talk about why that is. And let's talk about where we are now. Are we comfortable? Right. Is that all that it is? Like, have we just decided that this is OK for us or do we still want more? And is there a way that we can work towards that more?
Right.
Because if that's the case, we should do that.
Right.
Stagnant ain't never been a word to describe the Chapmans.
Mm.
It's not a thing. We have been in a space where there's just been a lot of pain And so we've been trying to figure out how to like get through that and do other things. But the figuring out part is over. That shit for the birds.
Right.
It's dead. So now we just in doing space. And in doing what we're doing right now, it feels great. And that only happened because we spoke. So I would say talk.
Okay.
Like now.
Pauses and be like, okay, do you want a mansion? And are we doing the things we need to do to get to the mansion?
Or if mansion ain't, whatever the fuck it was, whatever it is, that thing we've been putting off. Can we stop putting that off? Why have we been putting it off? We keep making excuses and reasons for why we shouldn't or why we can't. Have we talked about how we can or why we should? Again, we sat here for forever putting off just a trip to somewhere.
Yeah.
Florida is a 5-hour ride. We could just drive. And at one point we decided we was going to go down there for the weekend. And then we spoke to someone else and it just happened that that aligned with someone else. Mm-hmm. And it was the most last minute random shit. And it was like, let's go together.
And then we planned a better one.
A great one.
For a week.
Had the whole fam in this big ass house.
It was nice.
Like the just everything is a view. It everything was nice. Is a screen.
I did
saver.
Yoga in front of the beach. I was living a life.
I may or may not have smoked.
Mikey, okay.
By the ocean, a cigar. Right?
I know, it was a cigar. But
and
still.
Anyone from the company I'm working
with. Mikey, for, okay. And.
A cigar, Randy. And just like, we cooked breakfast every morning, dinner every night. Like
we didn't eat that at all. We all cooked.
There was no need. Like stuff like
kitchen
that.
Kitchen was huge.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so stuff like that is possible. But like, have you closed off your mind to the possibility that it could be anything more than what it is right now? Or anything other than what it is right now? We did.
Amen.
And we're not doing them.
We not. Thank you, Mike.
What about you?
I
advice for people who strayed from the plan.
Advice for people who strayed from the plan. I would say it is never too late to change your mind about yourself. Just it's so. This is coming from somebody who has her moon in Taurus, just like you, Mike. And I will not. I will.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I will hold on, okay? Mm-hmm. It takes a lot for me to move or to change. Change is like, but that's, you know, that's childhood stuff. That's like, oh, whenever something changed, something was wrong, you know? Or you look flaky or whatever. And it's like, no, you are allowed to change your mind about yourself. And then I just got, and doing all the healing and grief work, I was like, you know, what if I thought better of myself? What if I told Mike I want a mansion and he wasn't like, you're a bougie bitch. And you know, not that he's ever said these things, but like, this is what my worst case scenario is.
I'm sorry, but you know what I mean?
Like, oh, you want too much. You know, I don't, all the things we talk ourselves out of. And it was like, no. So what do we ask for more, really?
That's all we talk about.
Even my ancestors would be like, girl, what are you asking for? Dream bigger.
And so you come across as this like this person who wants bigger. Very little.
But it's not true.
It's not. But you've been putting on for the world for the longest about like.
Why? And so I changed my mind. And so since I've changed my mind and I've confessed to you what I really wanted, my desires, things are moving. And not just in terms of like monetarily or financially or tangibly, but like, right.
And
but also like
legally,
internally, like it's just like. When you asked me, when I told you what I wanted to make, you know, a week or a month, what was it, $888,000? You were like, or something like that. And you were like, well, what are you doing to like, to like do that? And I was like, oh shit, you're right.
It ain't that it's impossible.
It's just like what action. So realizing you have to show up, you have to speak up. You have to do the things that you're afraid to do to get the mansion, you know? And it don't just mean overworking and all the extra stuff. You can actually do what you love, but like, do you love it enough to do the work, you know, and all these things. And so I think that as soon as I changed my mind about myself, we were able to, it was like, okay, it's okay that I strayed from the plan because now I really know what I want. It's been 4 years.
The actual plan.
Right. Now it's time for like the real stuff, you know?
Now you've aligned with God's plan.
Listen,
our plan was flawed.
Our plan was not planned. It was like, that's
great. Which makes it a flawed
plan. Right now, leaving from here, it's not practical to get a mansion. Mm-hmm. We would be right back here. Like we would.
We could have it for a month. a solid month. No furniture, but we could have a place.
Right. Drew would just be,
and then she'd be like, let's go back home. Like, yep, right. All right. We can.
But it is practical to eventually get one. Mm-hmm. And it is practical to move out of here. You know, it's like, okay, we get defeated by these hopes and dreams when we make them too big at first. Mm-hmm. Imagine it's possible in 10 years. It's not possible next year. Mm-hmm. But
maybe less.
What I'm saying is it's possible.
Our trajectory. Next.
Okay. Fine. So,
you're right.
So that's what my advice would be.
One more time. What's your advice?
It is never too late to change your mind about yourself.
It's never too late to change your mind about yourself. And if you are afraid to do that.
Just go do talk. One step. So like one little thing for me was tell Mikey I want a mansion. Like I literally have been working it around in my head to be like, tell Mikey. And I did. And it was like, you did look at me, you know, crazy. You were like, what? You know, but that was my baby step. And the next was, you know, okay, what does my business need to do? How much money do I need to make and add to the savings fund for us to, you know, like all the things. And it's like, oh, you got shit to do. You're like, you don't have time for distractions.
When the facts is laid out in front of you by who, your financial advisor, they tell you what your score is, the debts are, what the target is.
You got shit to do. You ain't got time to be shy. Okay, you gotta, you want this money? Sorry.
Or you could just keep doing
it. Could I have to edit that out?
But you not, leave that in there. You could just keep doing what you're doing, man.
All right, babe. We are good. Okay, so engagement. Tell us, babe, what was engagement?
So are you thinking about planning or in the process of buying a house? Now, this process is still new to us, mm-hmm. but we have done so much research, which has been fun also, like filling our brain with other shit. Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips? Let us know. Shoot us an email at blackmillmare@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 770-750-4098.
Really leave us a voicemail. And if you are selling your house and you're like, you know what? I want to give my house to a family mm-hmm. that deserves it. Mm-hmm. This house means a lot to me. And if I had to give it to anyone, I want it to be so-and-so. We mm-hmm. are that so-and-so.
Now, maybe you have it currently listed at $500,000, but you know what? Come down. I feel like the Lord is speaking to you to make sure that you lower that price and be like, you know what? Drew would have so much fun here in this space. I don't
we
need it.
We are in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, you go ahead and downsize.
But we're open. Okay,
we Georgia are open. Is no, big. No. We are currently in Atlanta, Georgia, but we are looking all over the country. So if you, listening to this in Ghana or wherever you are, feel compelled to do so, leave us a voicemail. Again, that number is 770-750-4098.
Really and truly. All right. Or hit us up on social media and let us know what the process and your housing planning and if you finally got your house, what that was all like. Let us know.
Also, if you're part of the group of people that don't think that you can ever or will ever afford a house, we would like to know why also. Because mm-hmm. that exists. That absolutely is a thing. So yeah, please let us know. And if there's something that you want, we'd like to talk to you too. Help you break out of that because y'all lying to yourselves and each other. Randy's dying. Leave this in.
What is happening?
Oh, my baby. So, yeah, Google.
I don't know where that came from.
Thank y'all so much. Fight or flight.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's time for Randy and Mike's Fight or Flight. They've held it in all week, but you gon' hear it tonight. Don't really matter who is wrong or right, 'cause it's Fight or Flight.
All right, Mike.
All right, what's up?
My Fight or Flight is, because I gotta go get this chow.
I was told you had video.
I do, and I'm gonna show it to you after I tell you my fight. So,
You can pull it up, I'm ready.
No, I gotta tell you the fight first.
'Cause that ain't even me.
It's not you.
Oh. Okay.
So my fight is a while ago, because we don't do humiliation. We're not going to humiliate each other on this show, you know, because mm-hmm. that's our business, as Tabitha Brown would say. I'm not going to humiliate you. But a while ago.
Okay.
I asked you, Mike, please get that bug off your window. You killed it.
Before you finish the story, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something.
Okay. When I tell you last night, I was cleaning up by my windowsill. And I was like, I should finally get this bug down. But I didn't.
Mikey.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you finish.
I asked you, you've killed the bug.
Mm-hmm. And I left it there as a warning to all its friends.
All right, and now it's way past the time. I think they've been warned. It's been a while. I'm not gonna
lie to you. Had to have been the top of this year,
Mikey. I was trying not to humiliate you.
You can say it. No, say it.
It's been too fucking long.
I'm not humiliated. I don't even know if it was
the top of the year. I wouldn't say that far.
This is a solid.
But it's been like a season
fight,
and I need you to. And I've asked you. I've asked you.
It's been multiple.
I've asked you time and time again. Mike, grab the book. Get the book. You killed it.
Yes.
Get it. You always cleaning by your desk anyway.
I want his friends to know.
Mikey, it's time. It is time. The thing
did that you even, take a picture of it?
Yes, I did. And I have video of it. And I'm like, it's October 13th. And that thing is still there. Mm-hmm. And now it is October 17th. And it has not, you had the opportunity again to move it.
Randy, you can say it.
Mikey.
You can say it.
I don't even know how long it's been, to be quite honest.
I'm pretty sure it was it's been before my birthday.
Mikey, it was not before your birthday.
It was after your birthday. It was still cool.
It had to be after New York. It was after New York.
Which was my birthday. It was around that time.
Your birthday.
It was around February. I put a shoe and I smacked it. And he left it there.
Because,
reminder.
It still has its wings. Like, it's...
No, it doesn't. The wings are Mikey, separate, it's still on the ground. Okay, I'm sorry.
Mikey,
okay,
that's
go ahead.
Disgusting.
What is your fight?
This is just some further proof that I've asked you to do something, and you're always on the way to do it. And y'all, now Drew is at the age where she, too, gets frustrated with Mikey. Mike, what did she do when
Drew
you asked...
Drew violated. She was like, Daddy, can I get an orange? Yes, baby. Give Daddy 1 second. Daddy orange play.
No, there was what she was like. You had said something real sweet, and she was like, so is the juice all gone? Because she had asked Mikey to get her some juice or
like,
something.
I had said yes. I was like, I needed a second. I was like, I need a minute. I was like,
but then he came to her talking about other things, and she
I walked up to her like just having a conversation.
She didn't even respond to it. She was like, so it's the juice? Is there no more juice? So this is a problem. And I'm only bringing it up because you keep putting me in these stories about this dumbass car seat.
Because it's the return of this season.
So.
Okay. So what do you want me to do?
Get the bug off your window.
I am saying this on the podcast.
You are going to do something.
It will be gone before you come back from Drew's daycare.
Okay. Because this is ridiculous. So you're fighting or flying?
I'm going to fly like that bug used to. You got it. You got this one.
Okay.
You got this one.
I know I do.
Solid.
This
was a solid argument that you made here.
Yeah. You need to stop it. PDA. All right, babe, you're first.
Oh, yeah, because you just fought me. Where to begin? So, all right, I'm sorry. I'm still crying over the fight or flight. I have to say that since we've been having these conversations, especially centered around home ownership, getting our lives together, I just really appreciate the partner that you have been through everything. Everything that we do is a team effort. It's not on one person more than the other one. I feel more in alignment with you these days than I have in a while. Maybe since we became parents, because we were both still trying to figure out things individually for a time. How we're supposed to parent by ourselves, and then how we're supposed to do these things together. And we were kind of like playing these, like, not a game, but like trying to figure out how to like balance those things out. And sometimes, like more often than not, we are aligned, but there were some times where I'd be like, man, like I'm just not where she is. And sometimes I'm sure you were just like, man, I'm just not where he is. And we have to have a conversation about that. And then we did. I just feel like that happens way less these days. It's like, we have a conversation. No, you're right. Yep. Okay. No, you tell me something. All right. Yeah, no, you're right. And like, we just kind of like have been moving. Lockstep. Like, we just kind of been like walking along in a different way. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like it's just been right. It's just been right. I feel more heard by you these days. I feel more seen by you these days. And I feel like you taking on more and trying to figure out how you can like get your shit where you want your shit to be has been a major motivating factor behind that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really nice to just see you just lifting yourself up the way that you've been lifting yourself up. And you tell me all the time, like, how you're, like, proud of me for, like, doing stuff. But, like, it's nice to see you just be like, no, I'm ready. Like, remembering who you are. Like,
mm-hmm.
And then showing you and everyone else, like, who you are. It looks really good on you. It does.
Thank you.
And, like, in all the things that you do, in the parenting side of things, the spousing side of things, the businesswoman side of things, I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. You also seem a little taller.
I am taller.
You walk a little taller. You smile a little more.
I sing more.
You do. You dance more.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you remember
who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Sweet. My PDA is twofold. One, I'm very, very, very proud of you about this new job.
Thank you.
So proud of you. Again, I say on the mic that if you fail this drug test, which you shouldn't, I will start calling you someone else's name, which I will not name on this podcast because that is who you will be acting like. But I am very proud of you, Mike. I remember when we were kids. mm-hmm. in high school and you were always wanting to work at this place. And I was like, okay, nigga. But no, you really have been doing it and you did it and it's real.
It's real, real.
It's real. And I'm very proud of you. And
this ain't that position I was trying to get either.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
And I'm so happy that we got married so that I could also.
You could what, Randy?
The perks. Benefit?
Yes, ma'am.
The benefits.
That's right.
I'm like, man, girl, hindsight is 2020. This is one of the reasons why. So I'm very proud of you, Mike. Not even just for like how I can benefit and how I do. Okay. But I'm just proud of you because you've been working so hard. And I told you it's inspiring. It's like, girl, okay, girl, you gonna get your shit together or not? You know, like, you know, and I have been. And because we are, you know, we are, no one's better than the other. And I feel like we both motivate each other to change close to or at the same time so that we can still be good for one another. And you have inspired me to Randy up and to show up because of how you have been moving and working. And so that's been forcing me to like confront my grief and to feel my feelings and also do the work, like take the action. And so yeah, very proud of you. My second PDA, really quickly, because I meant to do this last time, I got skates for my birthday.
Yes,
you honored Little Ran and I'm very excited, and you gave me a skate lesson. And it was a lot of fun.
You killed that
and
shit.
I was sweating and
drenched.
I was tired and
exhausted.
I was sore. And we were just in the house and I'm just like, oh my God. So thank you. I know there are more coming and that's really exciting. And yeah, thank you. It's been a lot of fun learning how to skate again because I used to know as a kid. And then, of course, it's not like riding a bike.
No,
it's not for me.
It's like skating.
And it has just not come back once you get on. So yeah. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And I love you.
I love you too. That was nice.
Thank you. All right. Closing call to action, y'all. Baby?
All right. So, the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast is hosted and co-produced by Mikey and Randy Chapman. All episodes of the Black Millennial Marriage Podcast are edited by Randy Chapman at Rody Productions, a podcast management company.
The podcast management
Say
company.
Say that shit, girl. We are now and still available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and all your favorite streaming services.
Rate us.
5 stars.
And review us. We love seeing what you have to say.
Absolutely. And if you've done it before, do it again.
Update. Be like, update, colon. Y'all steal the shit.
Yep.
You know? The Black Millennial Marriage Podcast Fight or Flight Jingle was created by Ebony Janae at Janae's Jingles. Details in our show notes.
Y'all may have seen her. She was just recently shared in a post by Lupita, I'm sorry.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, Lupita was doing, she was going through a library. She had picked up a book, a little black girl on it.
Mm-hmm.
Brown girls playing
mm-hmm.
in the background.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that post.
More and more famous.
Ebony better be. Girl, you better.
You better.
We love you. Okay. To support our podcast, consider joining us at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage. There you'll get
Take two. Leave that in there, by the way. But go ahead. Let's run that one back.
What is happening?
I don't know, but this is adorable.
To support our podcast.
So good.
To support our podcast, consider joining us. Okay, come on. I'm not leaving this.
Please, it's funny. We need to see and hear your personality and listen to your joke.
Mikey.
To support our...
Okay, I gotta go get our child.
All right.
To support our podcast, consider joining us on Patreon at patreon.com/blackmillennialmarriage.
Mm-hmm.
There you'll get unedited, and ad-free episodes, Zoom meeting with us, and more,
yeah,
including
man.
Discord. We have so much fun.
We do. You could have been
y'all
at the last game night. You missed out.
It
you
was
failed.
Trivia night. Y'all, we have so much fun. We have all the channels in Discord. We have Bookworms. We have Woman Cave. We
mm-hmm.
have Money Moves.
Mm-hmm.
We have Suggestion Box. We have episode discussions. So they like to talk about, we all like to talk about the episodes after they go live. BMM Think Tank. They're helping us out with this merch shop. Recovering People Pleaser channel. Like, we mm-hmm. have all the things. It's so much fun.
You ain't mentioned the garage. That's fine.
We have the garage.
For
I don't go to the garage.
Car people. We talk about vehicles, too. It's a thing.
In the garage, we have a music channel,
mm-hmm.
movies and shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all, we have fun over there. Parenting, because these kids try
join
to get us out.
Join us.
Join us on Discord when you join us on Patreon.
Yes.
That is how you also, again, can support the show.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh, man, we love the work they do. And if you're like, man, I don't want to pay any monthly, That's fine. There's an annual option. You could just pay one time, homie.
Mm-hmm. You can do it as little as $1 a month. Mm-hmm. So stop playing.
Or as much as 20.
As much, yes, because Randy won't imagine.
All right, and
he was about to say,
I'm about to say what? No, I don't. Yes, I do. And be sure to check out our website, www.blackmillennialmarriage.com. Follow us on social media platforms. On Instagram, we are
Black Millennial Marriage.
On Facebook, we are
Black Millennial Marriage Podcast.
And on Twitter, we are
@_thechapmans. Thank you again for listening, y'all.
Be blessed.
Don't settle.
Fight clean.
Peace.
When you get, 1, 2.